Turn in your Bibles quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I know there is at least one person in this room who has heard this message probably a number of occasions because Jordan Bond and I go way back to junior boot camp. And this is an outline. This is a message that actually began as a junior camp message. And because of the fact that I only have a few moments, I'm going to try to fly through this. And Jordan could probably preach it because he's heard it. But it's right in the text here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. The more I am engaged in ministry and the older I get, the more I realize, folks, we are in a spiritual conflict. We are in a war. And so Paul is writing to Timothy and he challenges Timothy in three different areas about faithfulness and discipline and discernment and dedication. He challenges him about being a soldier. He challenges him about being an athlete. He challenges him about being a farmer in this text in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. We want to focus in on verses 1 through 4, which are powerful verses. And as we've already been exhorted this morning to focus on God and His Word and to be like Jesus and to recognize that there's no condemnation because of Jesus Christ, then I want to challenge you this morning that in this world we need some people who are bold and courageous as Christian soldiers of the cross. And I want to share with you this brief message this morning that I hope will be an encouragement to you, the distinguishing marks of a soldier of the cross. Verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Every branch of the military has core values. And may I say, in the Lord's army, there are some core values that we need. It will be impossible for us to fight the fight and to stand for God and to do great things for the Lord in this world which is at enmity with God. It would be impossible without these virtues and values of life. And I hope as we go through this today that you would allow God to convict you in one or more of these areas and that you would realize it is a war. We need to be faithful all the way to the end. Notice verse 1 shares with us the first core value. And it's very appropriate because in the military, we know that soldiers are strong. This is the first characteristic. We need to be strong. Paul also said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Maybe you're feeling a little weary this morning. Maybe you're feeling a little discouraged in your spiritual life. Paul said to exercise yourself unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable in all things. So in verse 1, he challenges Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Interesting that on purpose, Paul chooses to use a passive verb, not an active verb. He is not saying, go out and do this in your own power. He is saying, allow God to strengthen you. One thing we learn very quickly in our Christian lives is we can't do it without Him, right? We need His grace. We need His strength every day. And I believe God's grace and His strength comes to us in many different ways. But the Bible tells us specifically it comes through His Word, which is powerful, for the Word of God is quick and powerful. And it comes through His Spirit, which is residing in us. What knew you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So we listen to God, we listen to His Word, we follow His commands, we're sensitive to His Holy Spirit in the grace of Jesus Christ, which is the enabling strength of God. That is one of the definitions we can use for grace. The enabling strength of God. My grace is sufficient for thee. That is what upholds us in the battle. Folks, if you haven't realized this yet, you need to realize it. None of us are strong enough to stand for God without His power. I ask you this morning, are you dependent? Are you desperately dependent on God? Are you waking up every day and thinking, you know what, Lord, I need your help. I need your strength. God, I need you today. This should be a regular occurrence from our heart to God when we're overwhelmed with life, when we're overwhelmed with the responsibilities, when we're feeling like God wants us to accomplish something that we would not do it in our own power. We need God's strength. A Christian soldier must be strong in the Lord. And this is the first core value that Paul gives. And I hope that you would, again today, affirm in your life that you need the Lord and that you need him today. You need him desperately. Well, Paul goes on, and in verse 2, he says another core value. Verse 2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Core value number 1 is to be strong. Core value number 2 is to be serving. Now, there is specific application here in what we call discipleship, mentoring type ministry, and especially for those that are in full-time Christian work, because this is a pastoral epistle. So Paul was the apostle passing on to his young beloved Timothy, as he did to other people, and now he's telling Timothy, what I have done to you, you're to be doing to other people. So I think the very specific application is definitely for those of us that are in ministry. Can I just say that this is one of the reasons why I'm spending my life mentoring and discipling the next generation? Because this is what it says. The things that I have learned as a preacher, I ought to be passing on to the next preachers. I ought to be passing on to the next generation, who will then pass it on to the next generation. And this is the way Christianity and the truths of God are continuing to pass generation to generation. So there is a general emphasis to those of us in ministry, and I think there's also an application for all Christians, because in the same book, we find all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So would you agree that it's inappropriate to say, well, this is a pastoral epistle, I'm not a pastor, so I don't have to listen? You would not say that, of course. There is great help for us in this pastoral epistle. And I think in a general sense, this is what I want to teach this morning to all of us. We should be looking for people to invest in. Who are you serving? Who are you discipling? Who are you ministering to? You know, selfishness is reigning in American culture. Individualism, self-focus, self-promotion. This is the way the world operates. Do everything for you. And yet he's saying here that our eyes need to be on others. We need to be looking for others that we can teach, others we can instruct. Sometimes that's the older men and women of the church teaching the younger men and women of the church. That's taught in the pastoral epistles. Sometimes it's getting in friendships and relationships with the express purpose of building mutual respect to God and fellowship as Christians. But there ought to be a heart of ministry. There ought to be a heart of service. And of course, you know that one of the most important places that we ought to be serving is in the local church. Can I ask you, do you have a place where you are ministering in this church? Pastor did not pay me $20 to say this, okay? But he's probably looking for some help and some volunteers. Maybe you ought to just say, Pastor, you know, I want to be involved. I want to find a place of service. He's not going to say, I'm sorry, we're all full. He's looking for volunteers. There's probably a number of ministries that could be started. Who are you investing in personally? Do you have someone that you are encouraging? Do you have somebody that you're discipling? I think when he says that we're to pass on to the next generation, that means we got to take what we've learned and encourage someone else with it. And I want to challenge you to be a servant. Jesus said, whosoever is great among you must be servant of all. And isn't that where real joy comes, when you serve others? There's joy in serving God, and there's joy in serving other people. And this is what soldiers do. They care more about their fellow soldiers than they do about their own life. And so it's important that we put this core value into our lives as Christians. So as we fight the fight and as we stand for God, that we're doing it with fellow comrades, with fellow soldiers in the Lord's army. So number 1, be strong. Number 2, be serving. All right, notice verse 3. I told you this would be quick, okay? The core values of a Christian soldier. Hopefully it's quick and inspirational and motivational. And it's right in the text here. Notice verse 3. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. When I teach this at junior camp, I have young people come up and I actually show them what it means to be steadfast, and I tighten up my muscles and I let them hit me. And I say, that's what it means to be steadfast, that you are willing to persevere. I had a teenager this week come up to me and he said, hey, Brother Mark, are you steadfast? I said, you're not going to hit me. You're not going to hit me. You're too big now, okay? But this is number 3, be steadfast. Thou therefore endure. That's an important word, endure. It's interesting. This is not the typical Greek word for endure. The one that we translate like persevering or patient through suffering, that's the typical word used in the New Testament. This is a specified word only used twice in the New Testament, in both in this book. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. It says this, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Literally participating in the afflictions or trials of others. That's the same Greek word, elongated. It means to persevere or to endure along with others who have persevered and endured. The Bible even says that when we go through suffering and we do it well, we are partakers of Christ's sufferings. But I think specifically here, Paul is most likely referring to himself. Because remember, he's in prison while he's writing this book. And Bible teachers and historians believe that shortly after he finished the book, what happened to him? He was martyred. He was beheaded. So at the very moment that he's writing this book, he's enduring. He's participating with others who have endured, including Jesus Christ. And now he's telling Timothy, you can partake in the sufferings of others. Just be patient and endure the suffering. And if we were to talk about all the other apostles and disciples, if we were to talk about people throughout church history, if we were to talk about even some of the illustrations in this auditorium of people who have suffered and done it well and pressed on through difficulty, then we can say, if they made it, we can make it. That's the encouraging thing. When you are suffering for the name of Christ, you are in very good company. Because later in this book, he says in chapter 3, verse 12, all they that live godly shall what? Suffer persecution. And when you suffer, you can stand, you can be faithful, you can persevere and endure because you are standing on the shoulders of people before you. You are standing next to the people before you who have endured and made a difference for God. I might be looking at some people and you're going through some difficulties. Maybe you're suffering. Maybe you're facing some persecution from family. Maybe you're facing a trial that's testing you to see if what you're made of. Maybe your heart is broken and you're shedding tears and something is going on that is tempting you to think this. It's not worth it to be faithful. It's not worth it to follow God. I'm just telling you, you can make it because others have made it. So endure and be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't back up. Don't quit. Press on into the battle because the battle is hard and other warriors have made it and you can make it too. So be steadfast. Number 1, be strong. Number 2, be serving. Number 3, be steadfast. And it's a clear teaching in verse 4. Number 4, core value, and that is be separate. Be separate. This is a clear teaching in verse 4 that is also taught in many other places in the New Testament and really can trace all the way back to the children of Israel who were God's special people called out of darkness, called to serve him in a special way. This is the idea of holiness and being set apart for God. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. This is probably the most powerful illustration of the military, and that is as soon as you join the military, you are no longer a civilian. You understand there's a divide. You understand that no longer are you going to have all the things that everybody else has in the civilian world. And the uniform shows it, the deployments show it, the bases that we have in America and around the world show it, that there's this separation. When you're a soldier, there's a reason to separate because there's a mission to accomplish. And I think that's the teaching of the scripture as well. We want to be holy because there's a mission for God, the gospel, and his glory is at stake. And so we do not get entangled with the affairs of this life. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world. In James 4, verse 4, it says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And even Paul said himself that we are to be crucified unto the world. Now here's the reality. Jesus said we are in the world, but not what? Of the world. So we are in reality, in our experience, we are amongst people and in a place that in a general sense is at war with the king. This is what we might call an imperial province. It's not a friendly province. The world is not a friend to God and his grace. And so we're placed in this place, the world, to make a difference, to be a pilgrim and a stranger, and yes, a soldier. We are to be radically different, set apart on purpose, so that God can use us to make a difference. We don't become like the world to win the world. We separate from the world to win the world. We don't redeem the culture. We resist the culture. There's a difference. And so he's warning Timothy because Timothy would have had the tendency to follow what was popular, to follow what everyone, follow the crowd, or to do what was pragmatic. Whatever works is what we will do. But no, there are philosophies of the world that we must abstain. We must abhor. We must run away from. And those philosophies are still plaguing the church today. And it's important that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that we have a bold and courageous stand against those things and a separation from those things. And the primary application is, first of all, in our personal lives, and yes, in our church ministries as well, that we would be holy as God is holy. Interesting that in the same book, he reminds us of a man who didn't stay unentangled with this world, and his name is Demas. Do you remember him? He's in chapter 4. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I think this is happening all across the church today, that people are really deserting the cause. They're becoming traitors. We really are traitors when we love the world and we live for the world and we have to have everything of the world and we're following the world's philosophies. Folks, there should be some discernment in our lives. There should be some seeking of God's wisdom in our personal lives, our families, our church ministries, so that we could stay unentangled with the affairs of this life and that we are God's people and there's a mission that is guiding our way. Pilgrims and strangers and soldiers for the cross. And so it's being separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And that is a part of our lives, and that's being a soldier of the cross. Number one, be strong. Number two, be serving. Number three, be steadfast. Number four, be separate. And here's my point this morning. It's impossible to be faithful as a soldier of the cross if you don't obey these core values. Are you missing them? Is there something, one of them or several of them, that are really not being cultivated in your life? Maybe there's a reason why you're tending to give in, and maybe there's a reason why you're down and discouraged, and maybe even wondering, is it worth it? Maybe these core values are not being forced into your life and pushed in your life and given by God into your life. Be strong in God's power. Reach out and serve and disciple other people. Press on when it gets tough, knowing that others have done that as well. And then stay clearly separated. Be God's people and separate yourself from the ways of this world. These are the core values that we need. Are you being faithful like a soldier? I hope you will be. If you're not, that today you would confess, get back where you need to be, put these core values into your life even today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, thank you so much for speaking to hearts this morning. I know your word is powerful. Your word is going forth this morning, and I pray that your conviction would come across those who are self-confident, self-sufficient. Maybe there's really no strength of God. It's human strength. It's humanism. They're living for themselves and they're trying it in their own power. Help them to be strong in the Lord. Lord, I pray for selfishness that is maybe in our hearts and our lives today. We're really not concerned with others like we should be. I pray that you would get our eyes onto the needs, even in this congregation, needs in this community, and help us to find people that we can minister to and disciple and teach like Paul taught Timothy. And then, Lord, I'm sure there are people, maybe several, a number of people in this room, and they're facing something so difficult right now that it's testing whether it's worth it to keep doing right, to keep being dedicated to you. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage them today that everyone who has done great things for God has suffered. And they've made it. Many of them have made it. Help them not to quit. Help them to endure the suffering and press on in the battle. And then, Lord, guard our hearts from becoming more worldly. Lord, there's so many worldly philosophies that are being pumped into this generation. I pray that you would guard our hearts from that. Help us to be separated and holy and be different on purpose. Lord, in a general sense, I pray that we would just be faithful soldiers, warriors for the truth, because it is a war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I pray for each person here, and I pray for this church as a whole, this congregation, that they would continue to stand and be steadfast and make a difference in this community by your grace. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.